This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A New York judge is set to decide later today whether to dismiss the hush money election interference convictions against Donald Trump or to proceed with sentencing, the judge taking into consideration the recent Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity. International aid groups say Israel has failed to meet a U.S. deadline on allowing more aid into Gaza or risk U.S. military support. ABC's Britt Clinett with more from Tel Aviv.
Now, Israel has opened new aid crossings and expanded a humanitarian zone, but aid agencies say it's a drop in the ocean. And the situation in North Gaza, where Israel says Hamas has regrouped, has deteriorated to catastrophic levels after a renewed ground offensive there.
Palestinian medical officials say two Israeli strikes in Gaza killed more than a dozen people overnight. Haiti's international airport shut down after gangs opened fire at a Spirit Airlines flight landing in Port-au-Prince from Fort Lauderdale. The FAA is trying to decide whether to ban all U.S. flights into and out of the country. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. On Monday, the state's Supreme Court heard oral arguments over Wisconsin's abortion ban that was enacted in 1849. The ban went into effect once the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. The case that the state Supreme Court debated yesterday for over 2 hours was a ruling by a Dane County judge that the ban only applied to feticide, not consensual abortion. The court is also considering a separate case over whether there is a constitutional right to abortion in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is receiving a share of an opioid settlement. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
The state is getting about $22 million from Kroger in a settlement over the opioid crisis. Kroger has agreed to pay $1.3 billion in the settlement. The new agreement brings Wisconsin's total expected opioid settlement funds to more than $780 million. As part of the agreement, Kroger says they'll implement new measures to monitor prescriptions.
Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call made the settlement announcement yesterday. Tonight, the La Crosse County Board will hold a public hearing on a proposed budget of just over $200 million. The budget would give county staff a 3% raise and add professional development opportunities. In addition to those changes for employees, the county would provide a record-high maintenance budget to help improve road conditions. The county board will vote on the new budget tonight, with public comment to be held ahead of the vote. You can see the proposed budget at lacrossecounty.org. A man was rescued in Buffalo County yesterday. The sheriff's office said that a hunter hurt his leg climbing a tree in the Tiffany Wildlife Area and needed to be taken to a hospital. Rescue crews spent 2 hours searching for him before finding him. According to the sheriff's office, the 32-year-old Louisiana man wasn't able to walk because of his injury and told dispatchers he needed medical assistance. He was taken to a hospital in Eau Claire with non-life-threatening injuries. From the Western Wisconsin Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Jimmy Kuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com. It's award season in the MLB. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska filling in for Mike Clemens for Civic Media Sports. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. Damian Lillard says the Bucks are working hard to get back on track.
You know, we just got to be able to sustain what we were doing and understand what we did well, and not have lapses and letups and give teams life.
The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. It will become a little breezy by late this afternoon and especially into this evening. Our high today in the upper 40s to near 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy in the mid to upper 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered rain and a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. which is why when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here at 11:06. The woman is a fountain of positivity. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning, all. This is Sandy Williams. The co-pilot is flying this plane. Strap on your seatbelts. Earl is not with us today, but I think I have an interesting show. I've been sort of excited about putting it together. And so I'm hoping to get some audience participation in this as we go along. I've got Dr. Charles Franklin on the line with us. Dr. Franklin is a nationally recognized government scholar and a pollster. He runs the Marquette Bureau. Let me see. What is the name of it? Law and Public Policy, but the Marquette Poll. Is that what it's called, Charles?
Marquette Law School Poll.
Marquette Law School Poll, which is highly regarded nationally. Wisconsin is frequently the focus of a great deal of political attention, and his poll is always the subject of a great deal of attention. I also have a fellow calling in, a good friend of mine from my life, a college roommate, a prominent lawyer in Atlanta, and a listener to this show, who sent me a piece that discussed in his mind the things that he found troublesome from the standpoint of being a lifelong Democrat in terms of how the Democratic Party might have positioned itself, was viewed by the public at large in a manner that caused them, in his terms, to be shellacked. Do I have Bob on the line? Is he connected?
Sandy, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You're good. Okay. You're on.
Okay.
So here's the tenor of the show today, I hope, which is there's an article that has sort of stuck in my mind ever since I read it. It was in February of 2007 in the New York Times Magazine. And the title of the article was 0-60 to World Domination. I think I've mentioned it on this show and prior shows in prior years. And the article was about how it was that Toyota ascended from being a non-player in the world automobile industry to dominating, becoming the largest in approximately a decade. And one of the big reasons and the feature in this article was this notion, the Japanese notion of Kaizen, Kaizen being the term for good change, which it kind of morphed into an American dialogue, a continual improvement. And the thrust of the article was that Toyota got there by celebrating those who came forward to identify problems, celebrating them because then, hey, now we know what's wrong and we can fix it. That's fantastic. And they compared it to what they perceived at that point, at least, to be the General Motors culture, which was shoot the messenger, okay? And because that seemed to be the result when problems came forward and General Motors' heads rolled, so they had a lot of trouble focusing on how they could fix themselves. And so I hope that today we could exercise some Kaizen and we could talk about the election, in particular the Democratic side, because I think it's true based on, you know, Bob used this term in a memo that he sent to me about this, but I think, Bob, you described that as a shellacking. The Democrats definitely got it handed to them. And so then the question is why? And my hope was that today we could, without blame, without a discussion of the the accuracy of the factual accuracy of the perceptions that people have, that we would talk about the perceptions of the Democratic Party amongst the electorate that might have caused this outcome. Bob, what you sent this to us. What do you think? What was your in broad summary form? What were some of the things you thought were the areas that were the most affected the voters?
Yeah, I think picking up on what you've been saying, it's a mistake to just try to blame or make excuses relating to a particular issue, whether it's Biden or a short campaign or whatever, but rather to stand back and look in a mirror and look at the Democratic Party and campaign and candidates kind of from a distance and acknowledge that the public basically did not buy what the Democrats were selling. And don't just tweak it, rather look at the whole thing. I think it's also a mistake just to make it too narrow. I came up with perhaps 20 reasons that might come into play here, and we'll run through some of them in a few minutes. I kind of put them into three categories, big broad categories. One would be the personality and brand of the party, things like wokeism and calling voters or opponents bigots, elitism, these things that are kind of not relating to specific issues so much, but more of a personality that the Democrats have been, I would say, accused of, whether it's valid.
In today's terms, I think what we'd like to talk about is perceived as, okay, because last week we had a caller and I had a little discussion with Earl about it. I think what's really important is perceptions, and whether those perceptions are fact-based or not is important to understand, because maybe that involves messaging. But
and also whether it is at all accurate to say that as regards wokeism, for instance, arguably that's something that goes on college campuses a lot, and maybe among certain groups, corporations, wherever, but is not necessarily something that the politicians and government officials should be
painted with.
So broad brush, we've got kind of, I call them the brand, Democratic brand in the eyes of the public, bunch of sub issues there. Secondly, you might say, as a broad category, unpopular positions on policies that Democrats take.
Well, it could also be, I think when I read your thing, it looked to me like it was also unpopular perceptions on major issues. So, for instance, the economy, right? I mean, whether that's factually accurate or not, there is a general perception. I think, Charles, isn't that right? When you do polling, you basically find that people have greater confidence in the Republican Party on economic issues, whether or not that's factually premised or not.
Yeah, that's true. And that's also been a long-standing perception, not one that's just of this administration.
And the same is true of crime. I think another one that Bob listed was crime. And there's the same issue there, right? That the Democrats are generally perceived as not being effective fighting crime.
Yeah, political scientists have a term called issue ownership. And it's the idea that the parties are uniquely associated with various issues. So anti-crime being a Republican-owned issue, the economy generally being a Republican-owned issue, though occasionally you see a successful stretch like during the 90s when Democrats do a bit better on that. Democrats owning the climate issue is another example. These reflect real differences in the policies of the parties, but in some cases they don't. In some cases they don't reflect short-term or medium-term performance. They rather reflect this long-term perception, if you will, but it's a sticky perception, and it means it's really hard for a Democrat to run as the anti-crime candidate. It's really hard for a Republican to run as the pro-climate candidate.
Yeah, it's interesting. So it's sort of a brand, a long-term brand image thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one way I looked at it is oversimplifying a little, but four big issues that are recurring and are almost always among or at the very top of the issues that are important to the public, where the Democrats are kind of on the losing side of, in terms of popularity on each of these issues: crime, running the economy, taxes, perceived of as a high tax party, and open borders now. And on all of those, the public generally is going to go against the Democrats, I think, most years. Abortion would probably cut the other way this year and perhaps turned out to be not as important an issue in the eyes of a lot of voters as the Democrats thought it would be.
Is that, Charles, is that, doctor, is that what you found, that maybe abortion wasn't as compelling as the Democrats were betting?
Yes, both here in Wisconsin and in both national pre-election polls and in the exit polls, the economy came in as the most important problem for about 38% of the public. Abortion policy came second, but at only 15%. And immigration and the border just slightly below abortion policy, in my surveys, a little higher in the national exit polls. So we do have this situation where this year, the top issue by far favored Republicans and favored Republicans all year long. The abortion issue was very important to Democrats, but that's an example where independents put abortion well down their list of priorities, as did Republicans. So Democrats spoke only to other Democrats on the abortion issue. And immigration was the same with Republicans, very important to the Republican base, but turned out not to be all that important to independents or certainly Democrats.
That was interesting. I think everybody thought immigration would be in the forefront of everybody's mind. But the polls I saw, similar to what you were citing, had it way down there.
That's why
saw it fall off. And that's a good example of how action can matter. As Biden tightened the border late in his administration, it must be said, but as border crossings went well down over the spring, we saw the importance of the immigration issue drop from about 21% down to about 13% here in our Wisconsin polling.
But when you looked at ads, for instance, during the campaign, I think during the last 3 weeks, the border became a primary focus of Republican advertising. But all of this has led me to the suspicion that there was an awful lot, coincident with that article I read in the Wall Street Journal last week, an awful lot of voting against the image of the other side, meaning the Democrats, and not so much based on a particular policy, but based on a distaste they had for the brand or the image. And I think we're going to talk about that more after the break. But, you know, the result of that was, and Bob, you laid this out, but in the geography and demographics, I mean, you know, the Democrats did poorly in a variety of categories. I think you listed eight of them, Bob.
Yeah, I had rural voters, non-college educated voters, non-coastal voters, just men generally, poor white voters, Latinos, young people.
Yeah.
In every one of those categories, Democrats did quite poorly, I think.
Yeah. So when we get back, we'll talk more about this and we'll welcome calls. The call in line numbers is 855-752-4842. I think if you want to use the letters on your phone instead of the numbers, it's 855-75-CIVIC.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Our record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes. With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today. and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
I've been up, I've been down, I've always got my head in the clouds, hoping that I can find one of them that's so blind. I don't care, it can rain, all it wants on my parade, because when life gives me lemons, I make lemonade.
Welcome back, Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl. This is the second segment. We've been talking to Professor Charles Franklin. He's a working professor. He's now off giving a lecture, but I also have on the phone Robert Sodek, a prominent attorney from Atlanta, lifelong friend of mine who's done some Atlanta, lifelong Democrat, he will say, but what he's done is put together an analysis that looks at Democrats with an objective eye, I guess you'd call it, looking in the mirror, trying to be objective about figuring out what happened and why, and what was it that was the perception of the Democrats, not necessarily fact-based, but what were the perceptions that seemed to create the outcome. And I thought, Bob, we could first, I'm most interested in this brand thing, because I personally have a sense that I think there is something with the Democratic brand that people are finding maybe possibly repellent. And so I wanted to maybe focus on that. The first one that you listed, at least, was wokeism. And that seems to kind of take into account a bunch of things. It's mainly social cultural issues, I guess, right?
Yeah, I might even start by mentioning David Axelrod's comment just a few days ago that the Democratic Party has become, quote, a smarty pants, suburban, college educated party. And I think that's, you know, Axelrod led the Obama campaigns and, of course, a very, very shrewd guy. And yeah. I think he's on CNN a lot, and he's, you know, it's pretty striking that he would sort of be so combative and critical of his party. Anyway, that's just a little background, but yeah, on wokeism, and that's, you know, that's a fuzzy term, and it's a little fuzzy as to who
developed
exercises it or practices it or whatever. But I think some examples, this one I hadn't heard of until a week or so ago, that the Democrats, believe in Congress, in their fiscal budget had renamed mothers as, quote, birthing people.
Well, and of course, yeah. there's a lot of this going on in corporate America and academic America, you know, the use of pronouns and choice of pronouns and the gender focus. All of that, I think, gets subsumed in this. We do have a caller. I think we have, Debbie from Milwaukee?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Recently I read Richard Reed's book of Boys and Men. He's been with the Brookings Institute, and he talked about how men are struggling today socially and economically. And while the lives of women are deeply changed, they're kind of stuck, and they don't graduate at the same numbers as women, and they're just struggling. He offered some great policy initiatives and some interesting ideas. That the fact that boys' brains develop differently than little girls, and he suggests holding them back a year. But I'm just wondering if the fact that so many Black men and Latino men voted for Trump could be related to the fact that they're struggling.
Well, and in fact, there was on NPR this morning, I heard a discussion between a Harvard pollster and an individual who's involved with a foundation that is analyzing the issues associated with young men. And both of them reached the same conclusion, which, number one, young men voted predominantly in the direction of voting for Donald Trump. And they were analyzing that. And one of the things they pointed out was that young men seem to have a great deal of fear, much more fear than young women, about their futures, about their capacity to participate in the economy. Many fewer of them are than used to be the case are proceeding on to college or on to the next level of education. And one of the points they made was that a figure like Donald Trump, who seems very controversial amongst people in other age groups, for that sector, he's been around their entire cognitive life. And for many of them, instead of having any sort of villainesque kind of qualities, he's viewed as an anti-hero, someone who's been in their life all along and trying to be understood. So I don't know whether you've noted that, Bob, in terms of the experience you've had in Atlanta and your experience with young men. I guess we're both out of our law firms now, so we don't have quite as much experience any longer.
Yeah, that was a real shocker to see young men voting for Trump. You know, who would have thought, golly, Trump is pushing 80. He does not seem as though young men would identify him or support him, but they did. I don't have any.
Well, the pollsters this morning who were discussing it said that economic insecurity was the biggest issue these people identified, and that they were concerned about it, and without necessarily having a great deal of factual basis for deciding one way or the other, they leaned in the direction of Donald Trump. And also his image, okay, this anti-hero image and being anti-establishment, because these young men are disaffected as well as being quite concerned about their futures. So,
I think a little, at least on the margin, some young men, athlete types and sports fans and so on, I think perhaps react adversely to Democrats or some Democrats characterizing them in a negative frame as macho or even having toxic masculinity, that whole kind of battle I think the Democrats sometimes engage in is the young men or middle-aged men really, really resent that.
Well, and also it's clear from in the southern campuses, at least it was clear from both the data and the imagery that came from it, that young people in the South seemed heavily committed to Donald Trump and the image that he was providing to them. So, I think that we'll come back some more after the break to talk more about image and brand. But I really think that the Democrats need to do a self-evaluation as to why it is that they have been so easily painted with the images that the Republicans chose to paint them with, and what they need to do about it, possibly. We'll be back. One of them, that silver line. I don't care, it can rain. All it wants on my parade. Because when life gives me lemons, I make lemonade. Lemons, I make lemonade.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. State Superintendent Jill Underley announced a budget request for over $3 billion on Monday. With more, here's Civic Media's Derek Tritz.
Wisconsin's public schools have experienced a decade of increasing financial constraints due to underfunding from the state. The proposal advocates for raising revenue limits for schools based on inflation. Nearly half of Wisconsin's school districts have gone to referendum this year, many of them just to stay afloat. Meanwhile, Wisconsin currently has a $4.6 billion budget surplus. Underley says this would help students, staff, and schools without forcing taxes to skyrocket.
My budget proposal allows school funding to catch up to where it needs to be. The first step is simply increase these limits. And then we provide enough state funding to limit property taxes from rising too much.
The DPI's overall budget request is slated to be released in full later this month.
Most of the request is in the form of special education reimbursement for public schools. La Crosse County officials certified the results of last week's election last night. Canvassers counted over 72,000 ballots in the county, where ballots totaled about 98% of registered voters. The canvass showed that polling places accurately matched the number of total ballots cast a week ago, and that the county saw nothing unusual. In a statement, county officials said that the canvass showed that people can trust that local elections are safe and that every vote gets counted. This year's election fell within the margin of error for the Marquette University Law School poll. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
They didn't miss it by much. Those that run the Marquette Law School poll are reporting a margin of error of 1.9 points for the 2024 presidential race. The pollsters were closer in the Senate race, off 1.1 point. A statement says the performance is consistent with the poll's long-term average error of 2 points.
Donald Trump and Tammy Baldwin won the election for president and U.S. Senate, respectively, in Wisconsin. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're a Star Wars fan, prepare to go into a lather. There is a new trilogy in the works from Lucasfilm. Writer-producer Simon Kinberg will write, produce, and develop the three new Star Wars films. It's been 5 years since we saw The Rise of Skywalker, which was the most recent Star Wars film in theaters. Since then, Lucasfilm brought us three shows in the Mandalorian world, including The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka, and the upcoming Skeleton Crew. They also launched shows The Acolyte, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Andor. Simon Kinberg is known for his writing and producing skills for several X-Men films and 2016's Deadpool. Variety reports the new trilogy is in the early stages of development, so there are no story details just yet. There has also been no announcement on when production might start. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today. It will become a little breezy by late this afternoon and especially into this evening. Our high today in the upper 40s to near 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy in the mid to upper 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered rain and a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we talk film noir with Civic Media's own Earl Ingram. Then I'm joined by the Wisconsin Historical Society's Kurt Griesmer, who talks Dungeons & Dragons.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Dr. Seuss there. Oh, lemons now they make, lemons now we take.
Welcome back. The Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram. You can call in at 855-752-4842. The music I picked today is all about making lemonade out of lemons. You know, we've got, as far as the Democrats are concerned, they had an election that went not the way they hoped, by a long shot. And however, you can make lemonade out of failures by finding out why and trying to resolve and understand it and respond to it. And of course, responding to what the electorate wants is what politics should be all about. So I have with me a guest, Robert Sawdek from Atlanta, who had carried out sort of an analysis of this in terms of what it is that might have gone wrong for the Democrats and what kind of self-analysis they might need to do. I wanted to ask Calvin, though. We were talking before the break about young men and why it is that young men broke the way they did. And here we have Calvin, a young man, fits the profile, undoubtedly maybe didn't vote for Donald Trump. But I wondered whether you have an understanding or perception about why your peers might have broken so sharply in the direction of voting for Donald Trump.
Well, I think it's twofold. I think, for one, what you said about Donald Trump being a figure in people my age's life forever, just from The Apprentice to the drama to now, in the past 5 years, he's at MMA, UFC events. And it's just, he's familiar, I guess. And the other thing is just the perception of the economy. I don't perceive the economy from now and from 5 years ago to be that much different, but I was also only 21 or 20 5 years ago. So it's a struggle because I'm not sure how connected to reality the perception. Well, I know the reality isn't that.
Well, except that your age group is concerned about their capacity to enter the job market effectively and are worried about the career horizon they face, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, people are worried about their careers, but I think even more so people are worried about buying houses and moving out of their parents' house. And that's definitely something a lot of kids my age are struggling with. I know more than half of my friends live with their parents still, and I'm 26. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, so this is all part of a young group of young men who feel maybe a little bit kind of stuck in the mud, can't figure out how to get from here to there, and therefore might be disaffected and prone to vote for an anti-hero. Am I summing up kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, and I just think there's a perception that with the economy, and I don't even know if it's necessarily an anti-hero. It's like, I don't know if the majority of people see him as a hero. Obviously, there's his fervent base that does see him as a hero. I don't know if...
Well, an anti-hero is an interesting kind of a character, though, right? I mean, it's not exactly heroic. It's sort of the anti-establishment.
He definitely has the anti-establishment perception.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. I'm kind of pro-establishment, so it's hard for me to connect with where that comes from. But it's definitely people... I don't know. Trump does. I think it's like the idea that you don't want to be told what to do, and Trump does, and no one tells Trump what to do. So it's like a aspiration.
You know, Bob put together a list of things that included, what you have, elitism, Bob. Why don't you go down those quickly, and then we do have a caller calling in. We'll take the caller, but the headlines, at least on the eight categories that you thought were part of the image issue.
Yeah, we've talked about wokeism a little bit, and I might mention, I do think wokeism, gender neutrality and so on, pronouns, gives rise to ridicule. I mean, I think it's not just something that people don't like. I think it really, you become the butt of the joke if you're, you know, if you practice that. Next, I had Democrats are obsessed with race and gender. That's a complicated one, and but
I do think, I mean, you can put it, so instead of maybe addressing issues broadly speaking, like the plight of an economic plight of a whole broad group of people facing the same plight, you're saying that the Democrats would tend to talk about it in race and gender terms rather than strictly socioeconomic terms.
Yeah, I think we'll mention this later, but I think as among poor people, mm-hmm. let's just say using $50,000 as a breakpoint, about half the people making less than $50,000, I think, voted Republican, half Democrat. You would think economically that they would vote more Democrat. And among white people making less than $50,000, they were pretty, they voted for the Republicans, at least on one poll
yeah.
I saw.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know, that's notable. That's I think saying that maybe the people in that category, if you're black, you go with the Democrat, you prefer the Democrats.
Yeah.
But the white people are a little bit maybe excluded. Yeah.
Let's quickly go down the list, because then I do have a couple of calls I want to take.
Yeah. Okay. Democrats arguably calling people bigots. We'll come back to it perhaps. Elitism, we talked about. Let's see, patronizing and being sanctimonious in their manner and the way they deal with issues, at least as viewed by others. Cancel culture is an issue that Democrats are accused of. Transgender issues, sports and bathrooms and so on, that was a pretty big one in the advertisements by Trump. This macho men and toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the callers. I'm interested because maybe some of them are people who have perceptions, okay, that are from the other side, perceptions of Democrats. Jim, can we take your call?
Yes. Good morning. Thank you. I was wondering if you thought that, this is true, masculinity in today's world, has been framed as toxic, and I think, especially like on campuses, young men hear that they are, not well liked, in universities, and people who do like them. Why the young men?
Yeah, I mean, you're projecting. I presume you don't. You maybe don't fit in category of young men, but being obviously a man, I think there is definitely a sense that men generally. This book that Debbie, the caller, referenced discusses the fact that it's not just young men; it's men who feel like as a gender, they're being sort of given much less attention than women, and that men face all kinds of difficulties in their lives and are maybe feeling left out of a political process that seems to focus on race and gender and not men. Thank you, Jim. Gary from Sussex.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have two of my kids went to college. One went to Parkside and the other one went to Marquette. And both of them were extreme conservatives before going to college. Once they got out of college, I noticed them like totally changed. Not 100%, but their views were, we'd have debates and they'd say, well, Dad, well, why? And then now that they've been out of college for a while, I finally got them deprogrammed to understanding that their brains are not now that they're out in the real world and experiencing life and having kids and being married, they're back to being normal again. Now, when they ask the question
Gary, that's a lot of value judgment.
I know. I understand, and I'm being facetious a little bit. Yeah. Okay, there. Okay. but at least back to values that I taught them. And this last election showed this. Now, I was watching Morning Joe this morning, and they were talking about wokeism and stuff like that, and how woke is broke. They use that word.
Yeah.
Woke is broke. Do you believe that the wokeness went like way, way, way too far as they mentioned the transgender thing. They said, come on, do you want to have your daughter get hit in the face with a 110-mile-an-hour volleyball.
Well, here's what I'm trying to do today, Gary, is to try to not make my own judgment about whether what happened, but to try and understand from the other side, the people who didn't vote Democratic, what it is about the Democratic brand that, you know, and some people are lifelong Republicans and would maybe have trouble identifying the reason why they would never vote Democratic other than the fact that it's almost liturgy. But I do think there are a lot of people who have a view of Democrats today, which is different from the view that they had of Democrats 20 years ago. And the trends we're seeing are that the demographic groups that used to be more predictably Democrat are less predictably so today. And maybe demographics have become less predictable generally, according to this last election. But, you know, you're now a Republican, Gary. You call in relatively regularly, and you know, you describe yourself as a MAGA Republican. I don't know whether there was a time in your life where you were considered or would have voted for a Democrat, but are there things about the Democratic image that would today prompt you, other than being a committed Republican, are there things about the Democratic image that would keep you from voting for a Democrat?
I say the number one thing in my heart is the pro-life issue. Even though that Donald Trump is not 100% pro-life, I have to vote for the person who I believe is the most pro-life. I am not completely crazy. Like if my wife had an ectopic pregnancy and they doctors.
Well, no, I know. No, look, so, okay. So, but instead, I just want to, because we have a number of callers and I can't go into too great a length about why. But so from your standpoint, you have an issue that's very fundamental to you. Are there image issues associated with the Democrats that matter to you? I mean, the woke and the various things that we've talked about, or are you much more fundamentally focused on that issue?
No, there's other things. Sandy, I told you before, I was brought up in a Democratic family, and when I got married, my wife was a Republican, and we both voted for Jimmy Carter. It wasn't until Ronald Reagan when I changed.
Yeah, okay.
I changed. That's when I changed. And I like the morals that the Republicans have, more family-based rather than, you know, the Democrats, I think their hearts are right. I think that the Democratic left has went so far that a lot of Democrats are actually probably voted for Trump because not a lot of them, but some of them, you know, a percentage voted for Trump. And, because they just realize that they've just gone too far to the left. And I think if you guys would come more to the centrist, I think you guys would have easily won this election, because I was not happy that Donald Trump was our nominee at all. Zero. I do not like him, but I think that he's going to be good for America. And I think in 2 years from now and at the end of his administration, that the Democrats and Republicans are going to say, it wasn't that bad. The Democrats are ready to jump off the bridge. And,
okay. All right. Well, yeah, I think that is true. But we have a couple of other callers here as well, and we've just got a brief period. Maybe David, Susan, we'll be getting you right after the break. I don't want to start the call and immediately go into our break. So we'll be back shortly talking more about this, which is basically sort of a self-evaluation or an evaluation of what it is about the Democrats that cause people to not vote for them. We'll be back.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabe and I'm an actual Schwabe. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabe? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Clothes in the washing machine, running on 2 or 3 hours of sleep.
But clearly,
there's a light flashing in my car. I don't know what it means. You know what I mean? Thought a new chaos, then I turned 18. Oh, it's kind of overwhelming, but hey, lemons make lemonade. Flowers bloom in the rain.
Welcome back. The Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram. You can call in at 855-752-4842. We're talking today about doing sort of a continual improvement analysis associated with the Democratic Party, what it is that went wrong, okay? And not a factual analysis of whether it was an accurate portrayal in people's minds, why they pulled the lever, but mainly just why did they pull the lever? I've got a colleague in from Atlanta, Bob Sodak, on the line, Robert Sodak, who's done sort of an analysis based on a broad review of information, and I also have a couple of callers. Bob, I thought maybe we could dig in a little bit on the issue of elitism, because there's an awful lot of discussion and painting the Democrats as elite, and it's pretty clear, I think, maybe that there is an issue associated with sort of an anti-elitism that might have prompted the vote.
Yeah, that's a kind of a tricky one because, in fact, an awful lot of the Republican senators and government officials, they all went to Harvard Law School and Yale and all that. So it's a little bit odd, but I think in general, I don't know what gives rise to it, to tell you the truth. It seems a little...
Well, I do think that there's an image, a slick image. You know, I think, you described what David Axelrod had called said the Democrats had become a smarty pants party. There's been James Carville talked about how it was that when Democrats talk about issues, it sounds like a conversation in a faculty lounge. It might be the way that it's presented, but it might also be the connection between liberal and faculty, okay? Because I think it's true that almost every university campus, but almost every university campus is comprised of a faculty who are undoubtedly liberal, and that seems to be a dominant characteristic. We've got Susan and David. Let me take Susan first, and Susan from Franklin.
Good morning.
How are you? Good. How are you?
Oh, really good. I don't think it's, you can sit and you can and pour over all this data and information. Myself personally, my parents were and relatives were longtime Republicans. And I changed over to Democrat after Reagan because nothing seemed to trickle down. And I also feel, and this may be liberal me talking, but I believe that everybody should be treated the same. I don't believe that there should be, we should be calling people names just because they may have a different culture or a different color of their skin. But this seems to be a pattern in this country, and which I find disconcerting. And I think that this division that was presented and the name calling and talking about how Hispanics coming across the border are going to rob
Susan, let me interrupt you just only because thematically today what I'm really interested in is not hearing from Democrats about why it is that they're Democrat and what they think, but rather why is it that people who didn't vote Democratic and what is the image they have of the Democrats? And I'm going to ask David from Mequon to come on the line because David is a regular caller, and we know that David, we don't know for sure, but David has frequently talked from the standpoint of being a conservative. So I was very interested in hearing from him today. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. So if you're familiar with Seth Moulton, he is a Democrat from Massachusetts. He represents the U.S. House 6th District in Massachusetts. A couple days ago, he brought up transgender. He's got two daughters. He's a dad. He's 44 years old. And he talked about, you know, how he did not want men in women's sports. And he doubled down on his comments the other day, and he's just trying to prove his point. He's being absolutely ostracized for his position. And what's happening is if you don't agree with the position, you are considered an outcast. Like you have to, what the Democratic Party used to be like, this is because I told you a long time ago, when Bill Clinton was president, he was definitely much more centrist. You know, we hear the word triangulation. Bill Clinton was very successful because he wasn't too far left. He wasn't too far right. He was more in the middle. He tried to find a way to figure it out. Today, now the Democratic Party with certain things, if you do not agree with them, and you look, you know, like, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, she was put on a no-fly list. She's considered a terrorist.
So you're talking about the cancel culture aspect of the flavor that you see of the Democratic Party.
I think it's a combination of multiple things.
Yeah, we'll stay on, David. We'll come back to you after the break. We'll be back shortly. Just remember the words. And it goes like this. It is what it is, what it is, what it is, what it is. It is what it is, what it is, what it is, what it is.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as it's Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse.